Christian greetings this morning to each of you. It's indeed a blessing to be here and share in this worship hour this morning. I've enjoyed being here and been inspired already. Appreciated the thoughts Brother Darvin just shared about the free gift, and I thought about the fact that one of the apostles also called it an unspeakable gift. This morning, our brother talked about God in the Sunday school devotions and the fact that there's so much about God that we don't understand. We can't comprehend, or that we can't, as it were, wrap our minds around. It's this same God that gave us this free gift, and there's so much about that gift that we need to learn yet as well. It's an unspeakable. There's so much we can't come to the end of meditating and thinking and encouraging and inspiring ourselves with the things of God this morning. And that's what makes worship services so beautiful, as we gather in and different individuals, different men take their part in expounding and bringing thoughts together. And we look at a Sunday school lesson, and it's what makes a worship service that we leave and we say, well, that was good. I enjoyed that. It was good to be together, because God is good and God is great. I invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 119 this morning. I'd like to focus our attention on a question. I'd like to think about Bible study this morning. The title of the message is, Why Should I Study the Bible? Why do you study the Bible? Or should I ask it this way, do you study the Bible? What motivates you to study God's Word this morning? What brings you to the place that you open your Bible and you want to look into it? Is it when you get assigned a topic? Is it when you need to teach Sunday school on Sunday morning? I need to challenge myself with that sometimes, because sometimes I know, well, this morning I knew I needed to come to Swatara and preach. And that in itself is a motivation to open the Word of God, because if we're going to inspire other people, we need to first of all be inspired ourselves. And that's a good motivation. Those things are right and good in their place, and I hope that those times are special times to you. But this morning I believe that there should be those times when we just long to have a taste of God. There should be those times when we just want to fellowship, when we just want to have God speak to us, when we just want to connect with God. And we pray, we fall on our knees, we talk to God, but we also need to have those times when we just desire to pick up God's Word, the Bible, and just read. Just, God, what do you have for me? And allow God's Word to speak to us. And I trust that you know what I'm talking about. I trust you have those times. I'm glad I'm a part of a church that promotes Bible study, having personal devotions, daily devotions, family devotions. Those things are all very necessary and very needful. There's many reasons this morning why we should study the Bible. Well, let's read in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1. The psalmist gives us some reasons here. He says, Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learnt thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. We're going to cease reading there for now. Why should I study the Bible? Why should you study the Bible? The psalmist gives us quite a number of reasons here. He says in verse 1 that joy, blessed, talks about being happy, having joy. Joyful are the people who are undefiled in the way. And the way to not having defilement in our hearts and in our lives is to walk in the law of the Lord. So we should study the Bible this morning so that we understand the will of God, that we understand the way of righteousness, the way of truth, the way to walk in a way that is not defiled. Verse 2 tells us that blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Seeking God with the whole heart is something that takes all of our attention, should take all of our attention. It takes time. Seeking God with the whole heart takes thinking about God, takes meditating about God. And I believe that Bible study is a part of that. When we seek God with the whole heart, when we seek him with our whole heart, where can we seek him better than going to his word, into the Bible, and just allowing God to speak through our heart, to our hearts, through his word? Verse 4 simply says that we're commanded to do it. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. And so again, we must know and understand the precepts. I will not be ashamed. In verse 6 he says, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. And so this morning, another reason the psalmist gives us to immerse ourselves into God's word and to study is so that we would not be ashamed. So that we would, again, understand. Verse 7, learning his righteous judgments. And then in verse 9, he talks about a young man cleansing his way. And the way that we cleanse, all of us cleanse our way, is by taking heed according to the word. Verse 11 talks about hiding it in the heart. We study the word of God so that we can hide it in our hearts. And it's a part of us. We take it along. That we don't sin against God. That when temptations come, that when we find ourselves in the shoes of Joseph, if you please, and the struggles that Joseph faced. It was God's word that helped Joseph, I believe, remember who he is, remember how he should respond to the circumstances he found himself in. It's as we hide the word of God in our hearts. In verse 16, yet he says, there's others in here as well, but in verse 16 he says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The older I get, the more I know that forgetting is a part of life. We need to remind ourselves again and again and again, and so we keep studying the word of God. We keep meditating. We keep looking into the word of God. Well, those are all reasons the psalmist gives us. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says that we are to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think I see three reasons why we should study the word of God. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we again know and know the heart of God and understand the will of God, and that our lives can be approved of him. Again, the thought of not being ashamed, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And finally, thirdly, and I believe one of the most important reasons is that we can rightly divide the word of truth, that we understand the ways of God and the truth of God, that we have a right, that we understand doctrine, and that we have our faith based on a faith that is going to carry us through, a saving faith. Now, this morning, is it necessary for us to even talk about a subject like this? Isn't it the natural thing for any one of us to want to study the Word, study the book, which was originally brought to us by Christ? It's Christ's Word, it's God's Word. Let's just think about that for a moment. Just yesterday, we enjoy reading a lot in our home, and we have quite a few books around the house, but you know, the reading material in our house gets read and reread, and I find I have children that are always looking for something else to read. Yesterday, my son came home from the library, and he said, look at this. He said, I found another book that looks very interesting I'd like to read. And they like to read about people's lives and experiences and, those kind of things. And many times after they read a book, I'll hear someone make a comment in our household, but, you know, I'd really like to meet that author. I'd really like to just talk to him. I'd just really like to see if the impression I got from reading his book is really the man that I think he is. And I thought about that as I thought about this message this morning and why we should study the book. Let's for a moment this morning think about the author. You know, we often think about God as creator God. We think about him as redeemer. We think about him as a shepherd. We think about him as a judge. Those are the kind of things. I don't know what you think about when you think about God, but those are probably some of the things that you think about. But do you think about God being the author of the Bible, this book that we have? He is the author. And I believe it's well for us to think about this book that he has written. It's a profound book. It's a priceless book. It's a book that has endured the ages of time and has come through, and we have it. Men have tried to do away with it, to destroy the book. God has preserved it because God has a reason why he preserved it. God wanted us to have the book this morning, and God wants us to read it. Now, the point I want to make is we think about this thought of the author, and going back to my story of sometimes hearing that I'd like to meet the author. Many of those books that you read in life, you'll never have the opportunity to meet the author. Many of them may be gone, live elsewhere. You won't be able to meet them. But the truth is, the author of this book, you will someday be able to meet. You will someday be able to look into his eyes, meet him face to face. What is going to be your response and my response? Oh yes, I have read your book. I enjoyed reading your book. I read your book daily. I couldn't wait to pick it up and read it. Or will you be forced to admit that, you know what, I had your book, but I didn't really spend as much time in it as I should have. I really didn't enjoy reading it. I hope that's not the case, but think about that. What will be your response? So this morning, if for no other reason, I'd like for you to just consider that and realize that If for no other reason, read his book so that someday you can tell Jesus, yes, I read your book, I've been with you, and Jesus will know that. He already knows all about that, but you can admit, you know, that I've failed many times. I made plenty of mistakes in life, but yes, I read your book and I enjoyed it, and I found comfort. I found my way through life because I read your book. We will meet the author. We will meet the author. The second thing that I'd like to think about this morning, I already said that we are commanded to read the book. But I thought about Joshua when Moses died and Joshua was called to take the place of Moses. In Joshua chapter 1, we have that very familiar phrase, God told Joshua, he said, and I want to turn there just to get that verse. Verse 8 is what I want. But he told Joshua, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God wants us to read his book because it's what's going to finally make the way prosperous. It's going to finally be the book has the answers to our needs. It has the answers to life. It has the answers to, this morning I heard that sometimes life isn't as pleasant as we'd like it. And we tend to be people who get discouraged because life is difficult at times. We tend to be people who get somewhat emotionally disturbed about life because of life sometimes. But you know what? God told Joshua, he said, meditate in the book, read in the book. There's where you're going to find the answers. There's where you're going to find the courage to go on. It's what's going to make the way prosperous. It's going to be what makes the journey have good success. And he told Joshua, he said, meditate in it. Just about all the time, putting it in my own words, day and night. Right now in our home, we have a daughter that's anticipating a birthday here in just about a week or so, I believe it is. Her 16th birthday, and you know what 16-year-olds think about. She has this book for a while already, this winter, that she's been meditating in just about day and night. I think sometimes when it's time to go to bed, you look around and she has this driver's education book and she's meditating in that. You know, there's a desire in her heart to learn what that book says. She knows there's a test coming. She knows there's a time coming when she's going to need to prove what she understands about that book. And she's putting her all into it. She wants to make sure that she gets it just right, that it's good success, that it's going to make the way prosperous. Well, what about our spiritual journey this morning? How much more important? And can we take that same diligence, that same will, that same desire into God's word, into God's book, and make the spiritual journey prosperous? God wants us to be prosperous. He has our good in mind. He talks about that in his book, that he wants what is good for us. And so he tells us that the way to do that is read my book. And he commands us to study the book. Jesus also knew that when Jesus journeyed the earth. He at one place in time said, we remember the account where Satan took him to the pinnacle and gave that. Tempted him. Jesus' response was that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, God wants us to understand the way so that when the temptations, the difficulties come, that we understand and know the way. We'll touch on that just a little bit later. The third thing I'd like to say about this morning, why we should study the Bible. It is through the Bible, it is through this book that God's will is made known to mankind. And there's numerous things. There are several things I'd like to think about. First of all, how's a person saved? How do sinners find Jesus? How do sinners come to the place where they find this unspeakable gift, this gift that our brother was talking about this morning? You know, it's through the message of God's word. It's through the Bible. Just turn with me to, let's look at a few verses here in Romans chapter 10, first of all. Romans 10 and verse 13 says this, Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed?" How does the sinner come to the place where he starts having his knowledge, his faith, his curiosity awakened, where he starts having an interest? How can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For he saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And then I want you to get verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, it starts with the process of studying the Bible, of knowing and understanding the word. And this morning, dear ones, we need to preach the word is what we need to preach. There's nothing more important, there's nothing more lasting, there's nothing better to preach than God's word. And so we preach the word so that as the word is heard, that it stirs hearts and that souls are awakened and that there's faith instilled into the hearts and people start believing and trusting in God. You see, this morning we have a message that is... We can't compare it to any other message that's out there. It is real. It does a work that nothing else can do. In fact, Hebrews talks about that in Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12 talks about the word of God, and the fact that it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, God's word penetrates in ways that nothing else can penetrate. It's because God is the word. The second thing, not only does it bring sinners to a saving knowledge, a saving faith, by studying the word. But the second thing that studying the Bible does for saints, for us this morning, is that it sanctifies us. It sanctifies us through the message. In fact, Jesus himself prayed that in John 17. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And this morning we study the Bible because we believe it is truth. We believe that it can have a sanctifying effect on us. It can have, yes, it works in our hearts and it brings us into reality with the truth of life and the truth of our walk and the truth of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And as we meditate in the Word and we find comfort and we find hope and we find assurance, again, we find the strength to go on and face life. And also the thought of sanctifying, that of continually realizing our undoneness before Christ and the areas in my journey that I need to see and improve in. And the truth of the matter is it's easy to see other individuals' lives, but it takes God's word to show ourselves and to have that sanctifying effect in our own hearts. Help ourselves see the truth about ourselves. Studying the Bible gives one much food for thought. In fact, just another thought in relation to the young child growing up and a sinner coming to a saving knowledge. Peter talks about it being as newborn babes, he says, desire the sincere milk of the word again. We study it because it's that which is going to make us grow. It sanctifies us and we grow in our knowledge of God. So verse in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, and I'm just drawing a blank right now. I wrote that down, but I'd like to. Acts 20 and verse 32. Yes, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. There we have the thought again of the word of God sanctifying us, building us up. It's the word of his grace. It's God's grace, his mercy, his love to the human race to help us to grow and be more like him, grow in his image. And so we study God's word in order for the growing effect that it will have to us spiritually. Now, number four, another reason that I believe that we should be very diligent in studying God's word is because our enemy, we know that we have an enemy this morning, and we know that Satan knows the word of God himself. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted three times by the devil, on each occasion we find that the Savior answered him with the phrase, "It is written." Jesus himself went back to the word. He had the word of God. He knew it. It was in his heart. But you know, Satan also says, "But it is written." He did that. In fact, in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 4, you may turn back there if you'd like to. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. But in verse 6, Satan's response was, and he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written," Satan said, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone at any time." Now, we understand that as being Satan quoting from Psalm 91. And I'd like for you to turn with me back to Psalm 91. I want you to notice this morning what Satan left out of that. You see, Satan had taken that scripture out of its context and was tempting Jesus with it. And this can happen. This happens to many individuals today. It happens. People lose their way many, many times because of taking a part of the scripture or having scripture that is taking scripture by itself and so on. And it's another reason why we should be diligent in studying God's word. We go back to Psalm 91 and verse 10. It says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Well, I should back up. Verse 9, we need to read verse 9 with it. Because I tell you what, let's back up to, actually, let's begin at the beginning of the chapter. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." That's the point that I want to make. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilent. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, neither by the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." And here's the reason: "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. We'll cease reading there. But you see, Jesus took a part of that scripture and he took it right into the face of Jesus. The devil took a part of that scripture and took it right into the face of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and said, he's going to give his angels charge over thee. But the part he eliminated was the fact that we meet the requirements first of all, and we don't do foolish things and think that God is going to just take care of us no matter what. We respect God, we respect his word, and we meet the conditions first of all. And that's the part that Jesus left out of the whole scenario, that the devil left out of the whole scenario. And he'll do that to you and I. He does that today. He likes to make us believe that part truths are okay. Part truths is what he uses. And you and I need to be studying God's word. It needs to be a part of our heart. We need to have it hid in our heart. We should be studying the Bible so that Satan does not get the advantage of us. We need to study God's word, lest Satan gets the advantage. Number five, I believe that the word of God gives us great help in obtaining peace. The peace we need, the emotional stability that we need. You see, the word of God convicts us, it convinces us, it converts us, it comforts us, it does all those things. That which is written of Christ is written for our learning, the Bible says. The examples of Christ are that Christ gave, the journey of Christ, and the things that Christ done. Those things are all written so that we can learn from them, that we can observe, and that we can imitate those things. Romans 15 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the Scriptures might have hope. Now, I like to go back to Psalm 119, and I'd like to read a few more verses that I didn't read in Psalm 119. I'd like to jump down to verse 25 and begin reading through verse 32 of Psalm 119. Here the psalmist says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou hearest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Several things that I want to point out to you here. First of all, he says that my soul, in verse 25, cleaveth unto the dust. I get the picture here that the psalmist was in distress. He was emotionally on an emotional journey. He was seeing the downside of life, as it were, like we all do sometimes. But he says, quicken me according to thy word. The word of God is alive, it's quick, it's powerful. We read that this morning. It has life. It can bring us out of the miry dirt, the clay, the dust, you know, that we want to stick to sometimes. It can bring us out of those depths of discouragement, those depths of despair that all of us can find ourselves in sometimes. But we need to know the Word of God, and so we need to study it. We need to have it. We need to get into it so that it will do that for us. In verse 28, he talks about his soul melting for its heaviness. It seems to me like the psalmist had almost despaired of some things, came to the end of himself, as it were. And again, he says, strengthen thou me according to thy word. And so the emotional journeys that we tend to go on find their answers in God's word, in studying God's word, in knowing the word, in having it in our heart, having it as a part of us. And I just want to encourage us again this morning that we pick up the word of God and we find the answers that God wants us to find there. Number six this morning, we should study the word of God because we'll never have the opportunity to apply many of the scriptures, many of the things that God has in place in the word of God are in place for us now. In the future, we will not have the opportunity to apply some of the scripture. And I'll just give you a few examples of that. 1 Corinthians 10:13, very familiar verse. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye might be able to bear it. That verse is for here and now. It's for this time. It's for life here. It's for the journey here. Because when life is over, temptation will no longer be a part of us. In the future, we will not need that verse. And so the Bible, that verse needs to be studied and applied to life today. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We go to John 14, and he talks about, well, I should be able to quote that, and I'll just turn there so that I... The words of Jesus himself, where he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, those verses are here for our benefit today. They're there to spring hope. They're there to give us encouragement. They're there because we need it today. And there's many scriptures like that that we're not going to need in the future. It's going to be reality. It's going to be a part of the experience. But today we sit in this side of eternity and we look into an unknown. We look into maybe in our minds, it's a scary future that we look into, and it's these kind of verses that give us hope and give us courage and give us strength to go on and meet that unknown. And so we should study God's word today and apply it today. It's for today's journey as well as it's going to be for the future. And number seven, because the only ultimate proof for our faith is the Bible. And what I mean by that, from it we have the proof of many things. We have the proof of our beginning. We have the story of creation. We know how the world came in place. The psalmist in Psalm 100 said, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people. We're here created for him. You see, the Bible explains to us, the Bible is the proof of many things. Men try to reason it away, men try to argue it, men try to, you know what? When they're finally done looking at it, they still wonder and they still, it just doesn't all come together. They finally still need to come back to the proof that is in the Bible. Believe, trust, believe the word, take it for what it is. The Bible gives us the reason why we're here. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We have it in a nutshell. It's all put out together right there. God tells us why we're here. We ought to study the Bible so that we know what our mission is, what is expected of. We also have the answer to where we're going in the future in God's word. God is, His word is truth. God is faithful in telling us, and as saints this morning, we can claim those promises. In John chapter 3, the words of Jesus, verse 16, familiar verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in verse 17, He says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So the Bible tells us our options. The Bible tells us choose between here and there. Decide now where you want to spend eternity. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." God's word explains to us the reason for us being here and the options of choice. In conclusion this morning, turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. I was blessed again as I read a number of these verses. Revelation 22, we have the words of Jesus again. He tells us again some more reasons why you and I should have an interest in His word and be studying the Bible. In verse 12 He says, "And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." And He talks about what is on the outside. "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bright say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will let And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book, he shall testify these, he which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." This morning, let's be faithful in our Bible study. Yes, so we can find our way and we can have the rewards that God has in store for His people. We can identify the things that we need to keep ourselves clear of and stay away from. God has given us a sacred book. It's His word. He wants us to study. He wants us to know it. And again this morning, someday in the future, you will get to meet the author and let him know that you read it. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.